Welcome here. It's 2019, right? Oh, wait. Not yet. Almost. We'll get there. But I am excited to be here with you this morning. Thank you for being here. This morning, we want to spend some time, and we're going to do some sharing later. We'll talk about that. But first, I'd like to draw your attention to some announcements. If there's anybody that has an announcement that would like to come up and make it, you're welcome to make your way forward, and then you can just come up here when you're ready. A few of the announcements to pay attention to. Pastor Rudy is leading worship at Eastview and the Gardens on 10th in Altona this morning. There will be a New Year's Day breakfast here at the church on January 1st at 9 a.m. in the basement. So if you're interested and awake and available, come on down. The food is very good. Yeah. Clubs and youth will both be starting up on January 9th. So take note of that if you have kids that age or friends with kids that age. Another announcement, there's two other ones that I wanted to specifically draw your attention to. 24-hour worship and prayer. We'll be doing that from January 5th to January 6th. We'll be starting with prayer at 8:15 a.m. on January 5th as a group thing, if there's anybody that's available and interested in being there for that part. And then you're welcome to stay for any time in that and come any time during the day. And then also we'll be ending January 6th, which is a Sunday, at 8:30 a.m. With a group prayer as well. So it'll probably be over by 8:45 so that we're cleared out of the youth center before Sunday school. But if you would be interested in that, I think it's very important for us as a congregation to not only spend time praying on our own and worshiping on our own, but to do those things together as well. And we want to provide a space in the youth center for anybody to come and do that throughout that 24-hour period. So please consider coming for at least a portion of that. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and what we're trying to do with the sign-up sheet is to just make sure that there's somebody here to pray and somebody here to either lead some music or some background music or background worship as well at the same time that people can sing along to if they want to, but they don't have to. So to have those two things covered for every hour of that 24 hours, which I think would be an amazing, amazing thing to be able to do, to worship our God all day long, which would be fantastic. Also, the church retreat is happening February 8th to 10th, and so if you are interested in that, it's an amazing time. We have lots of young adults that have shown up in the past, and lots of families, and so even though if you've got young kids, it's a lot of work to get your kids ready and to go. The people that are there, it's just a lot of fun to be there. We'll be bringing our whole crew, so if you need kids for your kids to play with, there'll be a couple there anyway, so come on down. Cass, you have an announcement?
Good morning. I just want to make an announcement about Children's Church. We've been having Children's Church during the service for about a year now, and we're looking for some more volunteers. So if that sparks your interest, we need some leaders to present the lesson. Lessons are provided. I'm organizing that and making the schedule. So if that interests you at all, please come talk to me. Don't be shy. Thank you.
And you get to hang out with cute babies, so do it. There's not that many babies. There's mostly 2 and 3-year-olds, I think, but it's good. Congratulations to Kim and Mark, who got married yesterday. And then I'll let you look at most of the rest of those as well. One thing I also wanted to note is just that Tim Weeb got some not-so-good news this week. That's on the middle of your insert there. The cancer that he has returned in a very aggressive manner, and they need to decide whether to take further treatments or not. So we need to continue to pray for them, for the family there, and for Tim. All right. I think that's all for the announcements. You can browse through the rest at your convenience. And we'll move on. Unless anybody else has another announcement. No? Okay. I'd like to read this morning for our call to worship from Luke 2. translation I'm reading from is the HCSB, the Holman Christian Standard Version. And I'll be reading verse 8 to 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. It can be pretty easy to gloss over this message that we've heard over and over and over again if you've heard it a lot. But I think something that's amazing about this story is that the people who were there, at least by Luke's account, the people that heard first about this baby when he was being born, when the Messiah was to be here now, the people that heard were normal people. They weren't the highfalutin kings and princes and things like that. They were shepherds hanging out in the field, watching their sheep, doing what they got to do, much like our farmer friends that are in our congregation who might be out on the fields at 10:30 at night harvesting or whatever they're doing. This is who God chose to reveal this message to. And some of the things that are amazing about that is they went and shared this message with their friends. They probably went to the coffee shop, if there was a coffee shop back then, I don't know. But they went to the coffee shop and they said, "Hey, guess what? This Messiah came. He's came here in a feeding trough." It's kind of weird, but that's where the baby was. And this angel came and told us, and we went there, we looked, and it was true. There was a baby in a feeding trough. The weirdest thing, I never would have thought. But it was true. And so I think the amazing thing about this today, and what I want to leave you with as we're joining to worship together on our Sharing Sunday, is that the things that God has done, he has done not just for, you know, for people who are up here, maybe in status or whatever, but it's for everybody. And we can all share this good news. And it's exciting. So welcome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace toward us. Thank you that your message is not just for those who can afford it, but it's for everybody, that your message is free, that you sent Jesus as a baby to come into the world to save us from our sins and to make a way for us to be right with you and to have new life. As we gather together in worship today, Father, we pray that you would be the one who would be glorified, not ourselves, not our own ideas, but that our glory and praise would be returned to you because of what you have done through Jesus. May you be honored by our offerings this morning. Amen. I'll call up Kirsten.
Before we get to singing today, I've got a few comments that I would like to make. Seeing this is Sharing Sunday, I thought I could do this. First of all, Christine asked for prayer for little Dominique. You remember this little stray sheep that was kind of wandering here on that last Sunday morning? That little stray sheep fell day before yesterday and broke his arm. And he's scheduled for tonsil surgery on Wednesday at noon. So this little stray sheep could have a little extra prayer for him and his family as they deal with these kind of things. Just a heads up on that one. Also, next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking on the wise men coming to visit baby Jesus. And I've been struggling with that a little bit, not quite sure where to go with it. I haven't finished it yet. So there's still lots of room for prayer as we discern and as I listen to what the Spirit wants to tell me what he wants to share with me. So I would appreciate some prayer on that as I work with that one. And on a little sidebar onto that, not only to that, but I don't know whether you know that Mark and Janelle, they're not sitting there today. I don't see them. They're getting married in a month from now, just a month and a couple of days. And they asked me to do the officiating at their wedding. So that is definitely a stress level for me. That's not something that I'm very practiced in, but I would also appreciate prayer for that as I prepare for that. And I want to set the tone for their marriage to start off in a right way. I think this is a huge, for me, I feel like it's a huge responsibility. And thirdly, all of the songs that we're going to be singing today are requests, favorites, songs that maybe haven't been sung very much yet through this Christmas season, if at all, in here. So we're going to start off, we're going to do three German songs today. Number one is O du Fröhliche, just so you're a little heads up on that one. The next one is Helpless and Hungry, in combination with What Child Is This? It's a combo of two songs. Nun ist sie erschienen. Angels We Have Heard on High, that was a specific request from Carla. She's going to be telling, sharing a story about how that song came to be. And so we're going to sing that song in conjunction with that sharing. And then we're going to end it with Welchen Jubel, welche Freude. But there is still opportunity for a few more favorites, Christmas favorites. So turn your thinking caps on if you have a favorite one that you've kind of missed this season that hasn't been sung yet, assuming that it's something that I can actually, maybe you'll just come and volunteer to lead it then if I don't know it. We can be singing a few more favorites. So with that, number 55 in your German Gesangbuch. We'll start off with O du Fröhliche. Jesse, can you turn that monitor on for me, please? Does that work? To me, it's a great help to have the words there as well. Thank you. This song starts off with, I revised it a little bit. We're going to start off with What Child Is This?, which is a familiar chorus or song that we all know. Verse 1 of that, and then verse 1 of Helpless and Hungry. And we've sung this one here before in this congregation, so just follow along on the words on the screen. Eric had them there, and we'll... Oh, 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have done that before then already. Well, you know what? Should we just go to the other one? We can... switch these around. Why don't we do number 542? We'll switch things around. 542 in your Gesangbuch, please. You're there? Okay. Can we switch it back? And verse 3, we're going to be singing in two parts. So whichever part you feel comfortable with, Kirsten is going to be leading one part, I'm going to be leading the other one. So just on verse 3, you just follow whichever one you want.
I'll just call up the ushers for the offering at this time. Thank you, Kirsten. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done and said to us this year, all that you've done through us. Thank you for all the opportunities that we have to be your hands and feet. God, we pray that you would be honored by the offerings that we bring today. And Father, we thank you for your involvement in each situation, whether a celebration or a difficulty in our lives. God, we pray for Tim Weeb and his family, that you would be with them, that you would give them peace and comfort and wisdom in what decisions to make. And Father, we ask for healing as well, that you would bring healing to their family. Father, we thank you for Tenley Falk and Nettie Ginter and their families. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to be with those families as well as they adjust to a new normal. Father, we thank you for Dave Rempel and ask that you would continue to strengthen his knee and to give him lots of joy with his grandkid. Father, thank you for Austin Penner, and we pray that you would be with him too in his situation. Help him to know that you are with him and that you watch over him. Father, we pray for Helen Jansen and Jake Rempel. God, that you would be near to them. Bring them comfort and joy in the care that they are in and for the visits that they have, for the people that go to see them. I pray that those would be good times for them. Father, we pray for all of those who are overseas in different countries or even across land, for Lore and her family in the Congo. We thank you that Ryan has been able to come home for Christmas this year, and we pray that you would be with him as he spends time visiting with people and spending time with his family. We pray for Marie and Carol, and just pray that you would be with them as well. And with Eagle Wings Children's Village, and for Tyler Lowen, Father, we thank you for each of these people and their willingness to go and serve in places that need to hear about you. And we ask, God, that you would provide for all of their needs, whether it's for community, whether it's for finances, or for spiritual strength and endurance. Father, we just pray that you would be with them. God, we thank you for Mark and Kim and pray a blessing on their marriage as they begin their journey together. And Father, we just thank you so much for each person in this congregation, for your body that meets at Blumenort Mennonite Church. God, we just ask that you would be glorified through us and that we would be obedient to your voice. May you be glorified and honored through all the things that we do in this new year. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Ange for a children's story. And any kids who are here, you can please come up. I always forget you, but you're the big part of this. Come on up.
Good morning. I'm glad you could all come here today. This morning, I would like us to try to figure out some stuff that I've been wondering about over Christmas. Do you think you could do that with me? Yeah? Okay, well, that's good. At Christmas time, we hear a lot about Jesus, and that's a good thing, because, I mean, that's why Christmas is, right? Because we get baby Jesus. But I noticed something, and I noticed it especially this year, and there's one verse that talks about it a lot, or it does mention it. And in Isaiah 1:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." That's a lot of different names for one person to have. The one that I'd like to talk about a little bit and help, you know, maybe get your help with is the Prince of Peace. Did anybody know what peace means? What does it mean, Javin? Being good, okay. What else? What do you think peace means? What do you think, Tenley? Quietness, that's a really good one. Like when mom says, "I need some peace and quiet," right? That's the quiet, like the quietness. Yeah. So what do we need to have peace? Like in order for us to sit down our butts have to be down, right, sitting on something. And in order for us to be quiet, our mouths have to be closed, right? Okay, so what has to happen for there to be peace? Being nice. Okay, I like that. That's on the right track. What else? What else does peace mean? That's a really big word, and a lot of times it's kind of like we save it for big people to use. But I think it's really important that you think about peace too, right? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little story about an uncle and his nephew. Okay, the uncle's name is Abram. And this is a story from the Bible, so we know it's true, right? Okay. And the nephew's name is Lot. And it says, when Abram traveled to the land of Canaan, he took everything he owned. Abram was very rich, and he had lots of tents and lots of silver and gold and herds of animals. And Abram's nephew traveled along with him, and his name was Lot. And guess what? Lot had lots of animals too. Between Abram's sheep and Lot's sheep, there was hardly enough grass and water to go around. And before too long, Abram and Lot realized that there just wasn't enough for everybody to stay in the same place. Now, Abram, he was older, and he had a right to choose first. But he did not want to argue over the land. He wanted to keep peace. So he let Lot choose where he wanted to keep his sheep. Lot chose the beautiful valley with the east city to the east, and while Abram ended up with the rugged hills and not so much water. Do you think that was a hard thing or an easy thing for Abram to do? It was hard. Why do you think that? Because he didn't get, like, the best, right? Sometimes it's hard to make that kind of choice. But why did he do it? Why did he do that? Jace, why do you think that Abram let Lot choose first to keep the peace? So they wouldn't fight over it, right? Yeah, because he didn't want to fight. Okay, so I would like to play a little game with you. Have you ever seen the peace game? The peace sign, I mean? What is a peace sign? I know. Yeah. Pizza. Not the pizza sign, the peace sign. This is a peace sign. It's from way back in the olden days we used to do this. Okay, this is a peace sign. Can you all do this? All right, give me a peace sign. It's not the rabbit ears behind pictures. It's a peace sign. Okay, it's a peace sign. And can you all give me a thumbs down? Okay, so I would like you to tell me if I say something that is peaceful, I want you to give me a peace sign. And if I say something that's not peaceful, you give me a thumbs down. Okay? Okay, so the first one's going to be kind of easy, just to test this out. War. Is that peaceful or not peaceful? Not peaceful. How about if you and your brother or sister are fighting over a cookie? Yeah, you knew that one. Okay, so how about getting along with people in your class at Sunday school or school? If you get along with them, what is it? Peaceful, right? How about if you don't get along with them? It's not peaceful, right? How about pushing someone off a snow hill? Yeah. How about, this is going to be a little harder. How about worrying? Yeah. Worrying doesn't usually bring peace. Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, you and Dad can talk about that later. Okay. Sometimes being peaceful it seems like really easy, right? Like not starting a war, that's a really easy thing to figure out, like duh. But sometimes it's harder, like when you feel like someone's not being fair with you, right? Or when you're really, really mad. Yeah. So there's a place actually in the Bible, in Romans, and it says that's actually our job, to be peaceful and to keep peace. So I'm really curious. Now we talked about it a little bit. Can you tell me ways that you think you could be peaceful? What can you do to make peace? Because sometimes, be kind, that's awesome. That's a really good one. What else? Jeff? Being nice. What else? Like, what can you do in your house when you're at home? Gentleness, that's a really good one, Jace. Yeah. It kind of is. Yeah. You know, God is all about peace. He loves peace. Kindness. Peace I give unto you, he says. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. We are so blessed because God gives us peace, and the Bible tells us that God's peace never, ever ends. Right? Can you pray with me and we'll pray for peace? Can we do that? That's awesome. Is it a very peaceful snow fort? I bet you it's very peaceful inside when you're in the snow fort. No? Okay. Can we say a little prayer together? Can you do that with me? Can you fold your hands and close your eyes and pray? Can you do that? You show me. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you bring peace. I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of these children the ability to bring peace to the world around them. Help us to bring them up in a way that shows your peace through them, in their hearts and in their lives and in their communities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we'll sing number 542. 542 in your Gesangbuch. Nun ist sie erschienen. Please stand. Somebody have a favorite that they would, can be either or. Okay.
My dad's favorite was 186.
186. Oh, in the German one. We can do that. It is number 186. Hallelujah, schöner Morgen. Thank you very much. Please be seated.
Luke 2, verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told." And this morning we want to take some time to share with each other some of the things that we have seen and heard of the Lord doing this year. I've asked a couple of people to do some sharing, and if there's others that have something prepared, you're welcome to come up when there's an empty spot here as well. And so I'm just going to open it up, whoever would like to come. Maybe I'll invite Ryan to come first. And since he's here, I asked him to share, and he said he'd be willing to do that. So he'll share a little bit, and then we'll have some more people come up after that.
All right, good morning. So good to be here, and so good that it hasn't gotten to minus 30. Appreciate that. I might not wait another 6 years to come out if it's going to be like this and lots of snow. It's been beautiful. It's really, really has been awesome to be here. And this coming year is actually a special year for us as a school. It's not the 10th anniversary, but it's going to be the 10th class coming through the doors of SEC, Centro Educativo Cristiano. And we are really excited. I've been there for 6 years, and over the 9 years, there's been almost 100 students who've come through. And we're excited, and I've mentioned to some of you that this coming year, what we wanna do is to celebrate the 10th year, is in the month of March. While the students are here for the first level, we're inviting all of the other students back. We don't expect all 100 of them, because they come from all over the country. But we're hoping maybe a group of 20 or so. And we're gonna have our first Canadian student, hopefully, this coming year. He's gonna come out for 2 weeks. He has yet to get his application in. So we do have to sit as a staff and see if he meets all the qualifications. But it'll be very exciting if Jake would be able to come out, Jake and Ingrid. We're really excited to hopefully have them out there for a couple of weeks in March and see the school in action. And so applications are still open for another couple of weeks. If there's anyone else who wants to apply, we still have some spots. So anyone here, if you want a crash course in Spanish and you want to escape the cold, we'll be out there. So we're really excited. And you know, as you look, it's exciting to look ahead and to see what is coming, and also to look back and to see what God has been doing. And You know, we try to keep in touch with our students and see what's going on. And I know for some students, this has been a tough year. And it was interesting, this year, for some reason, there's been three couples who've come through the school and who've really gone through some hard times in their home, in their family, in their marriage. And one of those couples, actually, some of you will have met back in, how many years ago was it that you came out? Like 5 years ago, 4 years? Those of you who went, you will, that time will forever be etched in your memory, because we poured a floor with 35 sacks of cement, I think we did, over a couple of days. And at a church about an hour from where we're at, and a young couple who was pastoring there at the time, Manuel and Areli. And they were one of the couples who have had a very difficult year, and actually to the point where they... through some things that happened, they were serving as pastors, and they spent some time apart, separated, and just really going through some tough stuff. It made us really think and wonder, you know, what, how can we keep encouraging these students and realizing the reality of life in ministry, especially in ministry, I think. And, you know, for a lot of people in ministry in Mexico, it's a little different, because a lot of pastors also have to have a job on the side, and will pick up part-time work, if not full-time work. And Manuel and Aureli did that too, and Manuel often had to work nights because of the job that he has. And so I got a chance to sit down with him, I guess in September, a number of months ago, and just at this point where they had been separated for a bit, and he was just broken. For things that he had done, for things that had happened. And at that point, he recognized some things that had happened in his life, that he had let, first of all, his relationship with God kind of fall a bit, which in some ways is understandable for when you look at the responsibilities of the things that go on, when you're thinking about pastoring a church and you're thinking about working full-time and working nights and all this stuff to try and keep everything together. And then after that, too, recognizing his relationship with his wife as well. And he was just really broken for things he had done and how he had let this go and slip. And just desiring a reconciliation, but realizing that, you know, this is something that God would have to do. And just at that point of brokenness. And I think it wasn't more than a month, maybe 2 months later, where, you know, as a staff, we're talking with him, praying for them, and lots of people praying for them. And it wasn't about 2 months later when we saw that God had done the work that only he could have done, not only his life, but especially in her life. And they're back together, they're back when they first got married again. They're just really, they're no longer in the church right now, but they're it, or not pastoring in the church, but their family is back together. And to see them even stronger than they were before, and to see them excited and passionate about that, about the Lord, and to see this, to see God do this in their lives is really awesome. It really helps us realize again how important not just the schooling is, not just the stuff you learn, but walking together with him as we're together with him in the class, in the school, and outside of that too. And you know, when you think of ministry, you often think about all the church activities, you think about Bible studies, you think about Sunday mornings, when really a lot of ministry and a lot of our relationship with God is what happens outside of that time as well too. It's not just what happens here this Sunday morning, and the importance of family and the importance of just living out our lives and just relying on God through that. And you know you want to always just hear good positive stories and everything's going great and everything's going awesome, and that's often not always the case. Wherever you're at, if you're out on the mission field, if you're here, and But it's cool to see God work in those hard areas, in those difficult areas. And it gives us hope that in whatever we're facing, that God, it's never out of God's reach, that he can do something in our lives. And so I know for us as a staff to see things like that is so encouraging and so, so awesome. I hope it can be some encouragement to you too, and to keep praying. We still have room for more students. Pray for more students, but also, you know, if you think about the students who have gone through, just pray for them, because you can imagine those of you who've been in school type situations or missions trips, there's so much cool stuff that happens during that time, but it's the time afterwards when you go back home and you go back to reality and you hit reality, you leave those bubbles, that's when the real training, the real learning really takes place, and when we know these students really need our support and prayers. So keep praying for them. Thank you so much for all your prayers for us, for me. It means so much to have a group of people behind us, behind me, praying for a ministry. And you're all welcome. I came out this year, so you guys come out next winter for Christmas. Sound like a deal? I guarantee there will be no minus. There will be no snow, no minus temperatures. We'll have a great time. So come on out. Thanks.
It's been a while since I've been up here, and I've never struggled this much to come up with 5 minutes to say than I did this week. But Jerry asked me like what I've learned in a year, and I just had like 100 trains, and I could go in any of those trains, and I was like, I don't know which train to take. And so here we go. And just barely now, God was reminding me of something that happened, I guess, a year ago to, like, pretty much this day. I was, something happened that now I didn't realize it affected my entire year, but it actually did. I was at a conference in Kansas City called One Thing. Many of you maybe probably know about it. It's just where a bunch of, like, 20,000 people come, and then we just spend a lot of time worshiping and a lot of time in prayer. And, like, it's just, and a lot of time just listening to teaching. And it was there, I remember this would be my favorite thing that happened at the event. I remember I was sitting in my chair, and I was just kind of like out of it, and I was like, oh, whatever, I'm not listening, I'm not really into what's happening, and I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I see a girl, or a lady, with the blue shirt, and then also my heart starts beating like crazy, and I was like, what's happening? And like, it was weird because it felt out of sync, like I didn't understand why my heart was so, like it was so obviously beating like way out here, and I didn't understand because I was super calm, but I was like noticing my heart was doing this, and I looked at her and I was like, oh dang, God wants me to go to that person. And so then I remember I fought it for like a minute or 2 minutes, and I was just like, it was at the point where I was like, I can't fight it anymore. Kind of like, this has been a year of me, like, I've been learning to fight God less and like just learn to listen because I can't handle it. I can't handle not obeying kind of thing. And so I went there and I talked to her and I just stared, like, I was like, God, I don't even know what to say. He's like, he just kind of gave me a word to say that he sees her in the, or something that he sees her in the car. It was something, and I shared it with her, and she just, like, looks at me, and then she's like, I thought I was the one that was going to be encouraging to her. And then she, like, looks at me, and she's like, do you feel fire in your heart? And I was like, it took me a second, I was like, yes. yes, I do. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, like out of the blue, my heart starts burning like I've never felt in my entire life. And I like fell on my knees and I was just like feeling my heart burn like intensely. And I just stayed there for a long time and my heart was just on fire. And like sometimes the devil comes and tries to tell me that that wasn't real and that didn't happen, but I know that that happened. And then God, she told me that she felt like God was telling me that I can ask him to put fire on my heart and he will. And it's okay if I ask him to do that and I don't have to fight for it. And so like that was like the best thing. One of my favorite things that's ever happened in my life was just being in that presence with God and feeling him so close and like literally feeling fire in my heart and that it's a real fire. And so this year God's really been teaching me what it just kind of where he's like kind of leading me for the rest of my life. And I've really been drawn to prayer and really been drawn to just spending a lot of time alone with him and like just reminding, I have a prayer on my wall because often I discourage myself so easily. Like that's probably one of like my biggest things is I always discourage myself. And I'm like, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I can't do it, I can't do it, I'm God. And so I have this prayer that I just always, whenever I'm getting discouraged, that, like, that he would just refuel the fire that's in my heart and just like knowing that it's not on my own strength that the fire is there, but it's out of God, it's from God. And so yeah, that's been like the biggest thing this year has been just going back to God and like learning to believe what he says. And like it's like the biggest, like the easiest thing. Or not like all these things, we know these things, but like it's been a year of like actually believing what he says and actually believing what I know to be true. And the word that I would choose to, if I reflect over this year, would be, my friends have heard me talk about it all the time, the word fountains. It's like been my word that God is in him and in Jesus himself, the person Jesus is like a fountain of life. And so I just have a bunch of verses that I just put out because I didn't know what to write, so I just wrote verses. And they're all I have to do about fountains. So in Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it talks about how God, they have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters. John 7, verse 37 to 38 says, on the last day, at the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Psalm 36, verse 8 to 9 says, they will drink their fill from the abundance of your house, and you will cause them to drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. John 4, verse 13 to 14. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Then Revelation 22, verse 1 and verse 17. Then he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of the street. On each side of the river was a tree of life. The Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears say, come, let him who is thirsty come, let him who desires take of the water of life freely. And so that is just things he's been teaching me. Oh, I have one more thing. I didn't realize I actually wrote stuff down. And another thing that's just been like lots of the things in my past. I remember there's this one speaker at a youth retreat when I was in youth in grade 12. He said, whatever you've gone through and like things you've overcome, that's going to become like your ministry assignment. And I just hated that he said that. I was like, no way am I ever going to like use my past to like, I don't know. It's like, I didn't want it to be seen. But like it's been a year of like God's just been turning things around, and what things I've gone through and then things that hurt me, I'm now like free from them and there's no shame, and I'm able to, because now I have a small group of girls in the MFC Church in Altona, and like I love them so much, and it's been like so cool because now I can use my story and my experiences just to teach them, and like I love them so incredibly much. And so there's a song that I've claimed as my song. It's by John Thurlow. He's one of the people from IHOP in Kansas, and I've claimed it as one of my songs for my past year and a half-ish. Wounds in my heart, they are not what they seem. You have redeemed. They are the windows where you shine your glory. The pain from my past It's not like it sounds. It's been turned around. I am the canvas where you tell your story. I'm looking to the healer. I'm looking to the maker. I'm not alone. I'm not on my own because I can feel you working in me for breaking my chains, for setting my heart free, for giving me a new name. This is a different story. For saying I'm yours, for saying you love me. I'm not alone anymore. This is a different story. There we go.
Morning. I'd like to ask you to also pray with regard to Tim Weeb, to pray for the MCI community itself. Tim has been a really important person in the lives of the staff and of the students, and it's going to be hard for the students when they get back and hear this news. Even though Tim hasn't been teaching at MCI for a couple of years now, he has been returning regularly, sometimes to do chapels, but almost every week he's been returning to drop off a poem he's written in the staff room to encourage the staff, encourage us in our work and in our faith. And he's just been a tremendous help to the staff during some discouraging years that we've had where our student numbers have been low. And for the students who have never had him as a teacher, he's been connecting and encouraging, and it will be hard in the next few months for the staff. We heard that he's kind of been given three options. One is that there's a possibility of an experimental drug he could be given. Another is that he could take some chemo, and that would extend his life to as much as 8 months. The other is to do nothing, which would mean a possibility of 2 months. So his family is in a very tough spot right now, and they need a lot of wisdom and a lot of encouragement. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, MCI has been a part of my life for 22 years now. This is my 22nd year working there, and I've had a lot of students come through, and a lot of students from other countries who don't know Jesus. And so I've often wondered what happens with these students after they leave our school. And sometimes I get to hear that some of them have made a decision for Christ. And one of the students that I worked with for 5 years because he had trouble with English keeps in contact with me yet. I think it was 2004 or 2005 when he graduated. But he made a decision for Christ just after leaving MCI. When he left MCI, he said to me, "I am this far away from believing what all of you have been telling me." And so I've often wondered, he returned to Hong Kong, where he is from, and I've often wondered what's happened to him since. He sends me emails once a year, but doesn't say a whole lot. But this year, he sent an email where he said more. He said, "I don't know why this year. I have thought a lot about you people, MCI and Canada. I think it is because it was the most joyful journey in my life." And then he talks about hopefully coming back to visit. Then he has a paragraph where he says, "I'm sorry about those Canadians who are kept into the prison by the Chinese government. I can tell that Hong Kong is going from bad to worse under Chinese sovereignty. It makes my perspective to the Chinese change totally. The Chinese government is now closing the church, and they burn down," he says, "they burn down the cross on the church rooftops." I'm assuming they take the crosses off the rooftops and burn them. "And they try to control people's minds." And he asks, "Please pray for the Christians in China." So on the one hand, I was sad to hear the kind of hard things that the Chinese are going through. But on the other hand, I was encouraged to hear that he was continuing in his faith. He's in his 30s now and is continuing in his faith. And so I'd like to ask also to pray for the ministry of MCI, because it is a ministry there to students from all kinds of places. When Barry, this student, came to MCI for the first 5 years, he was a strong atheist. And he had to return back to MCI for one more year because the university told him his English wasn't good enough. And it was during that year that things began to change. So please continue to pray for the MCI community, even as you continue to pray for Tim's family, because we feel like he's part of our family as well.
Good morning. One of the ways I really appreciate worshiping is through music. And whenever we sing a song, I often wonder, what's the story behind that song? What was the writer thinking? And so I found the story about the song Angels We Have Heard on High. Les anges dans nos campagnes. Sorry, it sounded much nicer when Lauren read it in French. The direct translation is Angels in Our Countryside. And I thought that was such a nice word picture. It's a French carol dating from the 1700s, and it appeared in several different versions. It was published in English in 1862, and those words were, "Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains, Gloria in excelsis Deo." An older version had the title, "Hearken All What Holy Singing." The words translated into English said, "Hearken all what holy singing now is sounding from the sky. 'Tis a hymn with grandeur ringing, sung by voices clear and high." Still another primitive version speaks from the shepherd's vantage point, saying, "Shepherds in the field abiding, tell us when the seraph bright greeted you with wondrous tiding, what you saw and heard that night." Hymns are usually authored by human beings like us, but in this case, obscure verses by unknown French poets were coupled with a chorus that was literally composed by angels in heaven, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." That's the Latin wording for the angelic anthem, "Glory to God in the highest," which is from Luke 2:14. The Latin word "gloria" means glory. "In excelsis" is the phrase for "in the highest." Our English words "excel" and "excellent" come from that same word, meaning to rise or to ascend or to be high. And the Latin word "Deo" means God. This was a song proclaimed by the angels over Shepherd's Field the night Christ was born. The musical score stretches out and emphasizes the words in a way that is uniquely fun to sing and deeply stirring as we lift our voices to proclaim, "Jesus has come, hope has arrived on earth, a Savior is born, glory to God on high, Gloria in excelsis Deo."
Number 127, please rise.
Thank you. I was asked to share about something God has been teaching me this year. A lot has happened for me this year with baptism, graduation, and being a part of the Mile 2 Discipleship School, and God has been very present through all of it. A year ago, I would have never imagined I would be here today speaking in front of church again. I believe this is the third time this year. Being in Mile 2 has not made me any less scared of public speaking. However, God made it possible for me to do the Mile 2 program, so this is the least I can do. A huge thing I have been continuing to learn is to have complete trust in God with every aspect of my life. This past summer, making plans to do Mile 2 without actually knowing if I was going was absolutely terrifying. As hard as it was, I trusted that if this was where God wanted me, it would happen. And look where I am now. I've been on an incredible journey these past 4 months and have learned so much. For one, my biblical knowledge has increased an enormous amount as we dig deeper and deeper into the Word every day. Two, God has been showing himself to me in many different ways, and through that, I have learned so much about his character and who he is. Three, I have learned the stages of the comfort zone. There's the extreme discomfort zone, the more mild discomfort zone, and the comfort zone. The only place for growth is the more mild discomfort zone, because you can't grow when you are actually in danger, where your only thought is survival, and you can't grow when you are so comfortable that you have no space to grow. For example, speaking right now is a growing experience, because as much as I want to flee, I don't think I'm in any danger. Lastly, I've been learning what it looks like to live a life completely committed to Christ. A book we read this semester really summarizes what this year has been for me. Everyone knows John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But I have learned that there is no John 3:16 without Luke 9:23, which says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This verse says so much about what it means to call yourself a Christian. We must pursue him passionately and recklessly as someone in love might do, because he is the great love and pursuit of our life. For those of us who have been Christians since a young age, sometimes the passion for Christ can fade. Just like when a couple has been married for many years, the commitment may still be very strong, but as the years go by, the passion they had at the beginning is lost. They need to begin pursuing each other again with extravagant and sacrificial acts of love and devotion. A Christian's honeymoon with God should never be over. When the passion fades, we need to come after him in passionate pursuit. The next part of the verse says to deny yourself. This isn't just the idea of saying no to yourself or even resisting yourself. To deny yourself is to not even acknowledge or recognize your own existence. It is to not have God the first priority on your list, because that is still not enough. He wants to be the only one on your list. He doesn't want to come first in the race. He wants to be the only one on the track. The last part of this verse says to take up your cross daily. We often forget the significance of the symbol of the cross because we see and use it all the time, for example, in ornaments and jewelry. If we go back to the origins of the cross, we see that the symbol of the cross means humiliation and suffering, because when those being crucified carried the cross, that's all there was, humiliation and suffering. There is no comfortable way to carry a cross. You cannot carry your cross without suffering. And don't forget the word daily. Jesus requires us to take up our cross daily, every day, not just Sunday. This should make you ask the question, what sacrifices are you making every day in your life for Christ? When you deny yourself and take up your cross daily, you are saying to him, I give you my life and every detail in my life. I give you my will, my future, my relationships, my free time, my entertainment, my talents, and my desires. That's what it looks like to come after Christ, to be his disciple, and that's what God has been teaching me this year.
Looking back over the year 2018, there are many joys and many things that we can look back on with joy. For example, Jake and I love to go together camping. We go out with our RV. We love spending time with our family. There's so many precious times enjoying fellowship together and enjoying God's creation. I have also had some health struggles. I've had inflammation and pain on my face, my throat, my mouth, and my tongue. Doctor visits and tests and medications and very few answers, although they don't think it's cancer, but the pain is still there. And sometimes when you struggle, you ask the questions, and you have many questions, but there are no answers. And as a pastor said at a funeral we attended just before Christmas, when we have lots of questions and there are no answers, we ask more questions and we still have no answers, but we need to go with what we do know. And we do know that God is good, that God cares for us, that he is all-powerful, that he is faithful. The song, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father," it is so profound and so comforting. And God promises to be with us. And Jesus died for us. Norman often reminds us of that in Sunday school when we kind of stray on some off track. He will say, "But Jesus died for us. He is our Savior and Lord." In Isaiah 54, verse 10, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." And now looking ahead, at 2019, when we look at the world and some of the situations in our country, at times we get rather concerned. And yet I know that God tells us to not fear, but to trust. There is still hope. When my youngest grandson comes running and throws himself into my arms and says, "I love you." And when my oldest granddaughter shares her testimony and speaks of her love for her Savior and Lord and gets baptized. And there's many, many more precious moments with our grandchildren. We really appreciate our family, our friends, and our church family. There is still hope. God does all things well. Praise be to God.
So this is a little bit on the side there. One of my favorite songs is "Take Up Thy Cross," which had I known exactly what you were talking about today, that might have been a song I would have done because it's one of my favorites. There's a talk show host that says, "Never let the facts get in the way of a good story." I am going to relate a few things that may be facts, some that I know are facts, and others are memories. We are at the end of a year, and sometimes we try to reflect on this year. When Jerry asked if we would do some sharing, I had already prepared some stuff that was not necessarily exactly maybe what he was talking about, but a memory. When on one of my Uncle Henry's last birthday parties, we talked a little bit about what he remembered about Russia. He says, "I remember that I had to leave my tricycle in the garden." My dad remembered when we saw the film, "And When They Shall Ask," he remembered that train stopping at the arch, and the soldiers would come in again and check to see if there were any able-bodied and if anybody that could be, I don't know what their reasoning was, but they would yank him off. He remembered that very clearly. I remember in the 50s when this church was built. It was kind of ironic when we did our first MDS assignment. The people that were in charge, Jake and Verna Martins. I don't have a problem remembering Jake. It's the other one that I have. She said that she had been going by here to a friend of hers east of here, and she saw this church being built. They were part of the Thames EMM congregation. Their dad was very much involved, but she saw this church being built, and they would sometimes, when there wasn't anybody here, they would come in and look to see how it was being built. And when she saw how we at that time had the front, she said, "That's where I'm going to get married." So she rented the church, and then she went home to her dad and said, told her dad that Jake and I are getting married. And then he says, "And we're going to get married at this new church in Blumenauer, or Rosetown." And he wasn't exactly very happy about that whole deal, because they were very, very, very staunch EMMCers. But she said, "I've already rented the church." So he said, "Well, what can I say?" So some of the, those were some memories, some history things. We got married in this church. It was a hot day. It was the hottest day in Canada in 1972. We didn't have the air conditioning then. We still don't. All the wedding pictures we have is just water running down my face. I don't know if I remembered it then, but I remember it later when I looked at the pictures. So there's a song that, our church is a country church. It is out in the country. It's never going to move, because this is where it was made. My style of singing is country, because we are from the country. We are not an elitist New York place. So we have a song that we have, it's a song that J.D. Summer came up with that has some, I thought, some unique things. Oh, I'd like to go back to that old country church and to hear the songs of praise. How the people would sing, it would make the heavens ring at that old country church. Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful river? Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Oh, I'll never forget at that old country church how the glory of the Lord came down. And the children would smile as they shouted down the aisle of that old country church. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Then on Sunday to see all my friends so dear to me at that old country church. When it came time for prayer, everybody would be there at that old country church. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. On the everlasting arms. Now the years have gone by and so many have died at that old country church. But they're on the other shore and they'll sing forevermore as they did at that old country church. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been.
Thank you, Jake and Agatha. Is there anybody else that would like to share anything Yeah, come on up, Armin.
My apologies for taking up your dinner time, but there was something I thought we should share with you. For one thing, a couple of Thursdays ago, after our men's prayer group, we sat around and talked a little bit about what we'd heard and what we'd experienced, and one of the fellows said he had been at a different prayer meeting where the person had been quoting not scripture but another Christian author, and he had been upset with that, partly because of the fact that it was in Christianity that he was talking about directly. It was directly, but not the scriptures. But one thing he said was this person had said that the most important thing in life is what you think about God. And I figured there's nothing really wrong with that. If you think of your triune God as one who gave his son according to John 3 and who gave us the Holy Spirit according to Acts 2 and who gave us the assurance of his presence in Hebrews 13, certainly there can't be anything all that bad about it. And I still don't think it is, because I hadn't heard the initial comment. I couldn't really pass judgment on that. But then I pray every morning that God will give me guard and guide my heart, my thoughts, my words, and my actions to reveal his glory. And this kind of didn't leave me till I thought about it some more, and it came to the conclusion, and it's not me coming to conclusion, it's coming to me from somewhere else. But that said, it's far more important what God thinks about you than what you think about God. And I thought about that for a while, and okay, so what does God think about you? How do you find this out? Well, obviously, you don't go to this particular author, you go to the scriptures. And there I found it. I found it in the very first chapter of the New Testament, the very first, the 21st verse, where it says, I'm just going to make sure I read this right. It says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So there's one sentence with three different statements. It's the middle statement that I would like us to think about. "And you are to name him Jesus," particularly that one word, Jesus. Because in all of the things that you think about in your life and that you want to know God thinks about you, it can be described in one word, and that's in Jesus. There's a reading that we came across, Carol and I, when she was doing her homework for Sunday school, and our Sunday school class still has homework. We found a reading that was quite suitable, especially to this one named Jesus. And I'm going to read this. And at least in part. As the new millennial was about to begin, Brian Brand and his wife were hosting a Bible study on the book of Acts in their home. They observed how in Scripture, people always responded very strongly to the name of Jesus. Sometimes it was favorably, sometimes it was negatively. In the Old Testament, it was the prophecies and the predictions, and in the New Testament, it was the practices and principles. From those observations, Brian got this idea to create billboards around the city of St. Louis that would simply have the name Jesus on it. The first sign was put up in November of 1999, and like those that appeared subsequently, it was featured in white letters on green background to mimic interstate signs. The billboards carried no additional words, phone numbers, or recognition, like in this billboard was sponsored by. Since the Jesus Name Project, as it was called, began, testimonies have been shared of marriages saved, of women receiving forgiveness from an abortion, of a discouraged pastor gaining renewed passion for his ministry, plus many, many others, all through the power of just one name. For the past two millennia before Brian Brand's brainstorm, the power of Jesus' name resulted in the freeing of people from their sinful, self-destructive lifestyles. Since an angel instructed a carpenter to name his wife's child Jesus, the world has witnessed unimagined wonders that are rooted in the power of that one name. And that, in conjunction with that, I'd just like to say that, as most of you know, or I think all of you know, we moved away from Rhineland this year. I've been living there for over 75 years, and Carol and I together over 50 years. And it's not an easy adjustment to make in some cases. And I just recently read of one person who had a friend who was now 100 years old. She had moved from Prussia to Russia and then to Calgary, lived in the same house for 60 years, and now she had to move into a care home. And she said this moving from this house had been more difficult than moving from Prussia and from Russia. So there is a lot of ties to this. However, when we looked at it, Carolyn said two of her friends had told her more than once, when the time will come, things will fall in place. And so many things fell in place that we can't just say it was falling in place. It was the name of Jesus and his, and the way he guided and directed us. And to me, I want to more deliberately and consciously focus on that name of Jesus, and I just encourage all of you to join us.
I recognize it's after 12 o'clock, but if there's anybody else who has something that they would like to share, you're welcome to come on up.
Just wanted to share briefly about Jesus in 2018. At the beginning of this year, I felt prompted by God to ask him the question, what do you want me to search out about you this year? If there is anything that I'm specifically supposed to focus on. And I did get an answer to that, and I sensed pretty strongly and got a confirmation as well from this, from his answer, which was to focus on him being the church's groom, and we are his bride, and seeing Jesus as the groom, and he asked me to go through the Gospels and see how Jesus, see how he is our groom, and how did he treat his bride while he was with her on the earth, and so at the end of the year here, I feel like I feel like I failed pretty hard at searching that out, and I feel like I wish I would have gone after that a lot better, and so I look at some of the things I've seen in Jesus in the Gospels this year that have really amazed me, but I think the one thing that I think I take away, especially at the end of this year, is seeing Jesus as our groom in his faithfulness, and just kind of watching myself. I think there's definitely been frustrating times for me throughout this year, I think, where I've watched myself fail, but I see Jesus's faithfulness to me, and the beauty of our God, that he is faithful to an unfaithful bride, and how wonderful he is in that. And so I thank him for his faithfulness this year.
I also just wanted to say just a few short words. I just wanted to say thank you for welcoming me into the church so warmly this year, as we got married in May. And regardless of how Seth feels, I feel that he has exemplified the groom of Christ very well. And marriage has been so wonderful, and I feel like a treasured bride, and so I just have to say that. But I wanted to say thank you to the church. I was just sitting and smiling in the pew, listening to everybody, how wonderful it is to have that you make room to share, for people to come up, and there's just so many things, as I've been here for a short time, that I've really admired and really thought is really wonderful about how Blue Moorant Mennonite Church does church, and it's a privilege for me to be here now, so I just wanted to say thank you for welcoming me. I'm excited. There's so much when you get married. It's There's so much ahead in the future in every direction, it seems. So it's been a whirlwind of a year, and I'm excited for what God wants to do here and for us to be a part here and wants to do in our life. And there's so much inside of me that I could share for an hour, and I'm not going to. But yeah, God is so good, and we're so thankful. And I just want to say thank you to you.
I was going to leave this out because we are already late for dinner, but right now I don't care. We're late for dinner, so let's just go with it, okay? This won't take long. The theme of marriage has been quite common here this morning, and it's a coincidence for me because it's both good and bad. A week and a half ago, I got together with a young fella who has just gotten married in the last day or two. And so I went to his place to affirm him. Marriage is a good thing. That was a Friday morning. Saturday morning, which is a week ago Saturday, I went for breakfast with another friend of mine. And I ran into the exact opposite scenario. This guy's marriage is in total shambles. He just, I'm not going to give any details, but I'm going to say that husband and wife, they're apart. There's an awful lot of bitterness. Not even bitterness, it's downright hatred for each other right now. They got 3 or 4 kids. They're all out of high school. At this point, none of the kids want to have anything to do with them. Nothing. And so my friend is, he has spent this last Christmas by himself. And as good as marriage is, there's people hurting badly. This last, a week ago today in Sunday school, we did, the men in our class that I'm leading, we watched a video series, or not a video, it was something else we were watching, because it was Christmas. And so there's a couple of verses here I want to read. And this is going to take a totally different spin on things. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 15. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. Who do you say I am?" Now I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Verses 8 and 9. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" You know, Jesus is chasing us. It's been that way right from day one. He wants to have fellowship with us. Now in the Sunday school class that we had last week, the speaker that was on the screen that we were watching, he gave two scenarios. And so I want to paint a mental picture for you people. And this, there's nothing scriptural about it. It's totally hypothetical. But we know how it went there in the Garden of Eden at the start when Satan tempted Adam and Eve. and they ate the forbidden fruit, and because of that, we're where we're at now. So this first word picture, picture Adam and Eve in the garden, except they are separated. Eve is being tempted by Satan. Adam is somewhere else in the garden. And again, there's nothing scriptural but what I'm saying here. So Eve falls to temptation and sins. And so God approaches Adam and tells Adam, Eve has sinned. And because she has sinned, she will have to die. It's word picture one. Word picture two. Again, totally hypothetical. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They've been tempted by Satan and they have fallen. God and Jesus are sitting in heaven on the throne. And God says to Jesus, your bride has sinned. And because she has sinned, she will have to die. Now picture Jesus turning to God and saying, then I want to die for my bride. Jesus is chasing us. And I encourage you during this time, as we reflect on the last year and into the future, to think about that one question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am?
Thank you, Gary. We serve a great God who has done great things for us. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the way that you lived to show us what it's like. What you want us to live like. Thank you for dying for our sins on the cross and making a way for us to have peace with you, God. As we go into this new week and this new year, may we not just ignore the things that you are saying to us, but may we embrace your pursuit of us. Say yes to you and follow you every day. Help us to see the opportunities that we have to tell others about you, to share your goodness with those around us. Father, we know that we're not worthy of the love that you've shown us, but by the things that you have said, you have declared us worthy, and you want a relationship with us. Thank you for what you have done. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Go in peace.